tithe envelope missions. And it will definitely go to missions. Worship team, thank you today for leading us in worship. Just another word about the Wednesday night prayer meeting. This past Wednesday, one of the things that we were praying about was souls, and we got to a point where we asked people to just pray specifically about people that in your world that you know don't know Christ. And Carice had the idea of grabbing, there's a little wooden cross I think they keep up in the kids' room, bringing that down, and then folks can write the name of a person that they're praying for, they want to see come to Christ, on that post-it note, and bring it up and post it on the cross. Well, we did that, and there was, you know, 60 or 70 names. One of the names that was posted on there Wednesday night, an unbeliever, gave his heart to Jesus yesterday. I just got a text this morning from the person who had put that name on the cross and had been praying for this person for some time. And I mean, that's a pretty quick answer, right? Yeah. It's 2 or 3 days later, this gentleman comes to Christ. Praise God. So God's answering prayers. It's powerful when God's people get together. Yeah. If even two agree about anything, Jesus said it will be done. What happens when you get 70 or 80 people together? Wow. We move heaven and change earth. That's what happens. And lives are changed and the kingdom of God is established. So I'm excited about these Wednesday prayer time. Worship. We spend some time in worship and then we pray and pray for one another. There's ministry time at the end. So I'm just really excited about what God is doing. And just again about the Saturday Saturday healing seminar. Bobby already mentioned this, but this woman has an incredible testimony of being healed by God herself. She was on the road to death. I mean, she was just actually, she said maybe perhaps minutes away from dying. And called out to God, God supernaturally healed her. She went to Bible college, got the foundation, and now has been traveling the world for, I don't know, 30, 40 years, preaching the gospel and doing these healing seminars. So this is going to be an amazing time. I think we're getting some kind of a echo or something, or a little bit too bassy or something perhaps, but maybe you guys can adjust that back there. Well, there was a father who received a Hallmark father's card from his son, and his son wrote this, "Dad, thanks for all your lectures and the tidbits of wisdom you pass on to me. I put them into practice every day. Here's some of my favorites. I never change horses in the middle of a job worth doing. I know the squeaky wheel gets the worm. And I never count my chickens until I walk a mile in their shoes. And you thought I wasn't listening." Well, we're in a series today about listening to God and tuning in to his voice. We have an amazing invitation to come before the Almighty God, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, a wonderful counselor, and listen for his voice and hear his counsel. Let's just say you were having a financial challenge in your life. Would it be a benefit if you were able to sit down with the wisest, most successful financial consultant on the planet? Would that be a benefit to you? Or maybe you were going through marriage problems. Would it be a blessing if you were able to sit with the most successful, wisest marriage counselor on the earth and maybe just have some extended sessions with that person? Would that be a blessing to you? Or maybe you had a health problem. Would it be a blessing if you were able to meet with and consult with the wisest, most experienced doctor on the planet? And I think we'd probably say yes to all of those. Well, we got something better. We have the wonderful counselor. Isaiah, one of the names that he referred to God as, is the wonderful counselor. One version says he's a wonder of a counselor. Think about that. He's a wonder of a counselor in any area that you need counsel, in any area that you need wisdom, any area you need advice or direction. God is a wonder of a counselor, and he wants to speak with you. Are grateful. This is our third session. I think we've established the fact that God is a speaking God. He's still speaking. He hasn't developed laryngitis from the Old Testament to the New. He is still speaking. We are his sheep. He's our shepherd. And he is still speaking to us. So this morning, I want to give us three keys to help us tune in to God's voice. Three keys to help us tune in to God's voice. Number one, we're going to hear God more clearly when we actually get serious about hearing His voice. Are you actually serious about hearing God's voice? Or are you just doing okay without it? I'm getting by, so I don't know. I don't know if it's that big of a deal if I hear God's voice. I don't know about you, but it's a real big deal to me. I can't function. I can't get by. I can't do what God's called me to do without hearing His voice on a regular basis. You know, my dad used to say, if you can live without a particular blessing of God, if you can get by without it, then you will. But he said, if you get to the point where you're serious with God and you're desperate and you can't live without that particular blessing or benefit, God's going to make sure you get it. It's just a point of how serious are you? How much do you need that? God wants us to get serious about hearing His voice. Jeremiah 29 verse 12 says, when you call on me, when you come and pray to me, I'll listen. And when you come looking for me, you'll find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me, and you want it more than anything else, I'll make sure that you won't be disappointed. Isn't that good news? Now, we need to get it settled, number one, that when we pray, God listens. God is not like a bigger version of your dad that meant when you were growing up, maybe you went home and you had something to say to dad, and you went running in, hey, dad, he's watching a football game or he's reading the newspaper and he just doesn't have time to listen. And that was experience probably of a lot of you growing up. Dad was just too busy, or maybe dad wasn't even there. But God's not, your Heavenly Father's not a bigger version of your dad. Scripture says that when we pray, your Heavenly Father will listen. Every once in a while when He's in the mood? No, every single time. Every single time you pray, God listens. And, you know, according to the Scripture here, He says, when you call to me, when you come to me and pray, I'll listen. When you come looking for me, you will find me. God's not playing hide and seek with His people. When you are serious about finding God, you will find Him. Amen? And then Isaiah 55:3 says, come to me with your ears wide open. Listen and you will find life. Having your ears wide open means when you come to God, you don't just have a laundry list of things you want Him to do. You're not looking to God as some kind of a Santa Claus or a genie in a bottle just to meet all of your needs. When you come to God, you come with your ears wide open. It means you're not doing all the talking. You're doing some listening there. And to me, that speaks to someone who is serious, someone who is attentive, someone who is ready to learn, someone that's on the edge of their seats. I mean, you are tuned in to God. God's counsel is the most important thing in your life, and you're doing everything you can to tune in to the frequency of heaven. And what happens when you come to God with that kind of attitude? Scripture says you will find life. That means you'll really live. You're not just existing, but you're absolutely entering into the abundant life that God has for you. It comes by listening to God. And then number two, second point is be still enough to hear. There was a wife who was suing her husband for divorce and accused him of not speaking to her in 5 years. And the judge, man, he was horrified by this. They went to the divorce courts. And he addressed the husband. He said, what do you have to say for yourself? And the husband replied meekly, well, sir, I just didn't want to interrupt. Well, if we're doing all the talking and never doing any listening when we pray, maybe God, He is a gentleman, and maybe He just doesn't want to interrupt. And that's why we're not hearing. You know, before refrigerators, people used ice houses and to preserve their food. And they were made out of thick walls and a tight, you know, tightly fitted door. And during the winter months, they'd go out and cut blocks of ice from the frozen rivers and lakes, and they would pack them into these ice houses and then cover them with sawdust, and they would put their food in there, and it would preserve their food sometimes well into the summer months. And on one occasion, one man lost a very valuable watch while he was working in the ice house, somewhere in the sawdust. And man, he looked all over. He got down on his hands and knees and he looked for this watch. He called some friends in. They came in. They looked for the watch. And after a long time of searching, they could not find it. And he left disappointed. Well, there was a young boy that heard about the lost watch. And so during the noon hour, he slipped in to the watch and into the ice house. And a few minutes later, he came out with the watch. And the men, of course, were astounded by that. And they asked, you know, how did you find the watch? And he said, well, I closed the door, I lay down in the sawdust, and I kept very, very still. And soon I heard the watch ticking. Jesus promised in John 10 that he would speak to us and we'd be able to recognize his voice. But I wonder if we get still enough to hear, still enough to listen. Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Psalm 62:1 says, my soul waits in silence for God alone. From him comes my salvation. You know, in 1801, at the age of 30, Ludwig van Beethoven, the great composer, began to go deaf at the age of 30. And he had already, you know, composed some, you know, great works of music and some symphonies. But at age 30, he started to go deaf. And by age 45, he was completely deaf. And he was so broken over that he actually literally contemplated suicide, but then later decided against it. And even though he was cut off from the world around him, he could still hear compositions in his head, in his imaginations. And so what he would do sometimes is take a pencil and put one end in his mouth and the other end on the soundboard of the piano so that when he played, he could hear the vibrations or the consonants, you know, through the pencil. Just an amazing thing. And after he became deaf at the age of 45, he actually composed his greatest works, including the Ninth Symphony, which was probably his most famous and well-known symphony at that time. And from that point on, his music was basically on the cutting edge of the music compositions of that day. And one historian said he actually reinvented the classical music of that day. And that historian, writing about his life, he said his deafness actually worked in his favor. This is a quote from this historian. It said, it cut him off from the traditional music of his day and freed him as a composer because, listen to this, he no longer had society's soundtrack in his ears. Because of that, he could just imagine he could hear something fresh, something vibrant, something new. I'm wondering how it would change our ability to hear God's voice if we didn't have society's soundtrack constantly playing in our ears. That if somehow we were able to cut back from this, you know what I'm talking about? Scrolling through your phone hour upon hour. Or maybe we were able to cut back from society's soundtrack by cutting back on this. You know what I'm talking about, right? That remote that gets glued to your hand. It's like an appendage to your hand. You don't go anywhere without it. Click, click, click. I don't like that channel. Click, click, and you find something. 250 channels, you can't find anything to watch. Perhaps we could tune in to the frequency of heaven just a little bit better if we got rid of the soundtrack of society that's constantly bombarding our ears and our minds. Amen? Here's a third point. Have a time and a place to listen to God. God can speak to you anywhere. I talked about last Sunday. He dropped a word in my heart Sunday morning in the bathroom while I was getting ready for service. God can speak to you anywhere. But it seems like God really enjoys speaking to us when we have a time and a place prepared. And we come ready to listen. We tune everything else out. Jesus had his wilderness where he would get away from the crowd early in the morning to listen to his Father. Moses had his Mount Horeb when he climbed up on the mountain, just get away from all the, you know, 2 million complaining, grumbling voices and get up on that mountain and get alone with God and hear from God. And that's when God gave him the Ten Commandments. Habakkuk had his watchtower. I'm not sure what a watchtower looks like, but he had one. And it was a place apparently of solitude where he could get in that place and tune everything else out and tune into God. Habakkuk, if you read through, it's only three chapters, the book of Habakkuk. That's in the Old Testament, by the way. That's probably one of those books where the pages are stuck together in your Bible because you don't go there very much. But he came to a place, and it's worth reading, where he desperately needed to hear from God. If you just read through the three chapters, you discover that the society that he was living in was absolutely crumbling. The poor were being oppressed. The legal system was collapsing. The average citizen was not getting the justice that they deserved. Crime and violence were everywhere in the streets. Does that sound familiar at all to you today? And then the world around Judah, the nation he was living in, was in war everywhere around him, surrounded by war. And it looked like there was a possible invasion from a warring nation called Babylon. And it just seemed like there was no hope in Habakkuk's life or in his future. So the first thing Habakkuk did, human nature, he tried complaining to God. I mean, the whole first chapter is a complaint. He's just complaining to God. Why is this going on? Why is this happening? How many know God doesn't really respond to murmurs and complaints very well? I mean, he just doesn't really respond to that. Anybody ever tried it? I've tried it. And it just doesn't work. And so he discovered that. The second thing he decided, well, that didn't work. And so I'm going to shut up. I'm going to stop talking. I'm going to start listening to God. Now, Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 1 says this. This is Habakkuk speaking. He said, I will climb up my watchtower. I'll stand at my guard post. And there I will, listen to this, wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. He made a choice to find a place of solitude in the midst of his chaos to listen to God. He could pray and listen to God. And in that quiet place, that place of solitude, that place of refuge, he unplugged from society's soundtrack and he plugged into the frequency of heaven. And you know what happened? God spoke to him. And it's worth us taking a look at what God said, because I think it actually applies to us in many cases. This is what God said. It says, the Lord answered me, and he said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but in the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. In that quiet place of listening to God, God gave Habakkuk, a vision for his life. A vision for his life. A vision is a picture of a preferred future. 3 or 4 weeks ago, Pastor Craig was here. He talked about vision. He defined it as a prophetic picture of where I'm going. It's the ability to see things as they can be or as they should be and not as they are right now. That's a vision. So many people, that's all they can see is where they're at right now, the circumstances I'm stuck in. I can't get through this. I'm going to be here the rest of my life. They have no vision for their life. The vision is the thing that gets you up in the morning with some level of zeal and enthusiasm for the day. Amen? And one of the greatest frustrations that people often have is they really have no vision for their life. They have no preferred picture of where they're going in life. And literally their life feels like a piece of driftwood floating on the current of whatever whim they may have or whatever demands the day may have. Just a piece of driftwood. They're going nowhere. They have no focus. They have no vision. They have no direction, no plans, no goals. And their life is just drifting. Anybody relate to that? I've been there. But the truth is every single human being was made for a purpose. You have a God-given assignment. God has a special purpose for your life. And I believe that until you find that purpose, until you discover that purpose, you're going to live an unfulfilled, unsatisfied life. Now, the purpose is not something you make up. It's not something you sit down and what do I want to do with my life? I mean, that, you know, I mean, you can explore that a little bit, but really a purpose is not something that you decide, it's something that you discover. Because God's already put the seeds of it in your heart. Scripture says the purposes of a man or a woman's heart are deep waters. I mean, God's planted it deep in your heart. But a man of wisdom or a woman of wisdom draws it out, brings it to the surface. How do you do that? You pray. You talk to God. And you listen. You go to God and say, hey, why am I here? What is my purpose? What is my assignment? What have you called me to do? Because God, I want to get involved in what you... How many know it's better to get involved in what God's doing than try to get him to bless what you're doing? I've done both, and it's a whole lot better just to find out what God is doing and join him and partner with him, because that's already blessed. You don't have to twist God's arm into blessing your plan. Just get involved in his plan. It's already blessed. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, that's pretty good preaching right there. The truth is, God holds the key to a significant, I think, fulfilling and rewarding future. God holds the key to that. And that's why it's so important to seek him about your future and listen to the guidance and direction. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, what happens? It leads to death. The way I choose, apart from God, is going to lead to a miserable dead end. Frustrated. Run into people all the time, frustrated about their life. Frustrated about their life. I can't seem to get ahead. I'm not going in my life. I'm not going anywhere. God holds the key to that preferred future. God holds the key to that vision. We got to do what Habakkuk did. Get up on that watchtower. Get in that secret place. Where do you go to hear from God? It could be a favorite easy chair in your living room. It could be a quiet trail through the woods. I got a place in my house that I go. But I remember when my kids were small, sometimes it was just chaotic. Now, I remember several times going into the shed in my backyard and closing the door early in the morning with all the lawnmower and the gasoline smell and everything else that was in there, because that was the only place I could find to get quiet and just tune out the noise. I mean, if you have to climb to the top of a tree, I don't know where you have to go to get quiet. But it is so important. You know, I often hear God when I walk. Anybody hear God when you walk? I like going for walks, and when I walk, it just seems like my brain gets decluttered, and my spirit gets open, and God begins to drop little things in my heart, in my spirit. Do you have a place to wait on God? If you don't, you need one. Now, I'm going to finish this morning with a couple other thoughts. Let's say you've been praying, you got a decision to make, you need God's guidance, and you are really serious about hearing from God. How can you discern between God's voice and maybe your own human voice that's speaking to you, or the voices that are coming from the outside, or maybe even the enemy's voice? How can you discern God's voice? I want to give you a couple tips this morning. Number one, God's voice will always be consistent with Scripture. Always. 100% of the time. God will never ask you to engage in something that is inconsistent with the Bible. Amen? You know, people have said, you know, when I pray, I just feel so guilty. I feel so condemned. I feel like a bad person. I imagine that God's just pointing his finger at me. Is that God's voice? You know, if you've confessed your sin and you've asked God to forgive you, you're walking in as much light as you know, that is not the voice of God. How do we know that? Because God says, Romans 8:1, somebody just quoted it, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Not even a tiny little bit of condemnation. And if you're feeling any kind of condemnation and you got honest with God, you confess your sin, you're walking in as much obedience as you know, th- thing you need to do is get rid of that thought, get into God's word, and say, this is what I'm going to believe. Satan, get behind me in Jesus' name. Accusing spirits, get behind me in Jesus' name. Because that's all that is accusing spirits. The enemy is the accuser of their brethren. That's his game. He loves bringing accusation. Amen? You know, more than one time over the years, a gal has come to me, a single gal, and she said, well, I feel like God's speaking to me about, and it could be different scenarios, dating this unbeliever, marrying this unbeliever, moving in with this unbeliever. And that's the first thing I always ask when they talk to me about somebody they met, is he a believer? And so many times the answer, well, not exactly. He kind of believes in God, but here's the deal. I feel like God told me to date this person, marry this person, and eventually I'm going to win him to the Lord. We call that missionary dating. Is that God speaking to her? How do we know that? How could she know that? Well, it's in the Word. 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You don't even have to pray about it. God clearly says you should not be marrying an unbeliever, dating an unbeliever, certainly not moving in with an unbeliever. God's already spoken on this subject. Amos 3:3 says, can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? If you're dating or even thinking about marrying an unbeliever, you can't walk in agreement. Why is that? Because your values and your priorities are diametrically opposed to each other. He's going one way, you're going the other way. You cannot walk in agreement. You know what's going to happen? Unfortunately, I've seen it too many times. You're going to end up miserable. Absolutely miserable. Frustrated. Now, if you've already made that mistake, I'm not condemning you. And we will join with you and pray for your husband, your wife, whoever, whatever the situation is, and believe God can get a hold of that person. But if you haven't made that decision, please listen to the Word of God. Much of what we listen, I don't know where I came up with the percentage, but I just do. I throw it out there all the time. 80% of what we ever need to know in life is in the Word of God. All you got to do is read. You know, if you're facing some kind of a decision or you need God's guidance, you know what you need to ask yourself? The very first question you need to ask is, what does God's Word say about it? What does God say about it? And then get yourself in the Bible and in the Word of God. Well, how's God going to speak to you through the Word? Well, you just present that need, that decision, that guidance that you before God, and you start reading. You know what God can do? And he's done it so many times with me. He'll just highlight a verse. You'll be reading along, and all of a sudden, boom. It's like God spiritually takes a highlighter and highlights that. Just jumps off the page, and you know God is speaking to you through that scripture. How many, raise your hand if that's happened to you. Probably many, many times. Here's a second thought. God's voice. There's a way we can discern. How do we discern God's voice? God's voice will often conflict with our human reasoning and wisdom. Did you realize that? You know, the Lord said in Isaiah, he said, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. I think we need to let that sink in for a minute. God said, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. And if we somehow think that God thinks like we do, we're pulling God down to the human level, and he's no longer God, at least in our mind, our eyes. And thank God he created us with the ability to think, but we don't think like God. We are creations. We're creatures that God created with this ability, but think about him, the creator. And the level of thinking that he has is so far. He said, scripture goes on to say, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. My ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And that's why the writer of Solomon encourages with this verse, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Don't trust in your mental acuity. Is that a word?
Yes.
Let the Holy Spirit lead you. You know, I'm sure it didn't make a lot of sense when Jesus was ministering in a particular place and he got word that his good friend Lazarus was dying. It didn't make a lot of sense when the Holy Spirit said, wait. The Father said, wait here, continue to minister two more days. Human reasoning would say what? Drop everything and get there as fast as you can. That's human reasoning. That's human logic. But the Father had something better in mind than just healing a sick person. He wanted to raise Lazarus from the dead after being in the grave for 4 days. That's a greater miracle. Amen. I'm going to ask Zeke, where's the microphone at? Who has the mic? I'm going to ask Zeke to come and share a testimony, because he had a situation regarding his career where God was speaking to him, and it didn't really make a lot of sense to him. I want you to share this.
Hey, everybody. Am I on?
Yeah.
All right. I was blessed with the gift of desperation, where I needed God to come through in my life. Things were really broken about a year ago. I had just been released from jail, and I had gotten a job. And you can imagine how hot it is, just like it is now. And I was up on a roof, roofing houses, not making very much money. And I was wondering, how is my life ever going to be successful? How am I ever going to get my license back, my kids back, a house? How am I going to get off probation? How is any of this going to work out? It just seems like a dead end. And I was hot. It felt like I was in the desert. And I got into some time of prayer, meditation, reading the Bible, and I heard God tell me that he was going to, I was daydreaming about cutting hair and being a barber, watching videos. I stopped scrolling and then started meditating. He said he was going to make a way for me to go to barber school, and I had somebody tell me, go to barber school, and I just had like these giants in my life. Don't you know how many times I've overdosed? Don't you know that how many times I've been addicted to drugs that I can't do it? I don't got what it takes to go through with this. My life, I just can't see it ever changing. All I've ever known is construction. And I rolled over in my bed, and I was living in a halfway house. I roll over and I look out the window. It's a beautiful house, by the way. And I look right out my window, and right below off of the bluff is the school directly right in front of me. He said, I'm going to make a way. And I'm like, is this my imagination? But the thing is, I kept thinking, is that my imagination? But it was planted in my heart. And I had this peace over and over again. Every time I had any doubt, I had this peace that God was going to make a way. So I go there, and they tell me it's $1,250 a month. And I go back, and I'm like, but God, don't you know? These giants are too big for me. It's $1,250 a month. I just got out of jail. I'm making $16 an hour. There's no way. And I just had this peace again that he was going to make a way. And I didn't know how it was going to look. Each day, each month, it didn't seem like I was going to get into school. But the day before school started, they lowered it down to like $300. And they're like, can you do it if it's $300 a month? And I look at my wallet and I had $320. And it still didn't look right on paper. I had a plan. I had my own goals, my own vision that I was going to be a contractor, do construction. And this other plan that God was pointing me towards, it didn't add up on paper. I wasn't going to make it to month two, but I said, okay, I'm going to trust. I'm going to step out in faith, and I'm going to step out for 1 month. And at the end of the 1 month, he made provision for the next month, and he made provision for the next month. And I tried to get a grant, and they told me, no, there's no grants available. By the end of school, I got the grant that was done available that they don't have. And I actually only had to pay my first month's tuition, and then 2 weeks ago, I paid off my tuition. But I graduated barber school. One last thing is that this whole time I had a vision, like David was saying, like a picture. It was another way that God was talking to me. And I pictured a certain shop with cool lighting and just like the way the shop looked. And that's what I had this peace that that's where I would work and it'd be in Hood River. But there was no shop like that. A month before I go to graduate, this guy tells me, hey, I'm starting a brand new shop. Would you be interested in coming and working in Hood River? And It opened the day after I graduated. And that's where I work today. Praise God. He can do anything. Thanks, you guys.
What a great testimony. God, you're so good. Amen. And what he did for him, he'll do for you. He's no respecter of persons. Yeah, he doesn't have any favorite children. We're all his favorites. Amen. There's a third way, and I'm going to finish up real quick here. Third way we can discern God's voice is it will often clash with our fleshly nature. Did you know you had a fleshly nature? Hate to break the news to you, but we have a fleshly nature. I'm not talking about our human flesh. I'm talking about the sinful nature that we were all born with that really wants to live contrary to God, live in disobedience to God. If we let that control us, it's not going to work out well. Romans 8:6 says, letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting your spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. Here's the fourth way to discern. God's voice will often challenge our faith. I know I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. I'm just reviewing it. What God tells you to do will often take faith. In our bedroom, we have a picture. It's a drawing, painting on the wall of our bedroom. It's of a bighorn sheep that's leaping from one snowy part of the canyon over to another one, and there's like a 300-foot drop in the middle. And in the bottom, the saying at the bottom, the little tag at the bottom of the picture says, leap of faith. When God speaks to us often, it will require a leap of faith. It'll stretch you. It will push you out of your comfort zone. You know, the African impala is an amazing creature. It can jump 10 feet high and 30 feet long in one leap. 30 feet, that's half, that's from that wall halfway to the back of that wall. That's quite a jump. 10 feet, 30 feet. But they've discovered that they can keep the African impala in a zoo with just a 3-foot wall. And the reason is because the African impala will never jump unless it can clearly see where its feet are going to land. Faith is the ability to trust God when we don't really see where our feet are going to land. The only thing we have is the Word of God. The only thing we have is the voice of God, the words that He's spoken to us. So like Zeke, he had to take a step of faith. And as he took that step, God came through, the resources came through. Man, we want to see everything from beginning to end. We want to see how God lays the whole picture out. We want to see our whole life and see how God's going to provide here, here, and here, and here. And what does God say? Take the first step. Take the first step. Take a leap of faith. I'm not talking about doing crazy stuff just on your own. I'm talking about hearing God. And you know you've heard God, and even if it doesn't make sense to the reasoning mind, even if it's going in conflict to your human fleshly nature, you are willing to obey God and take that step of faith. That's what Abraham did. Hebrews 11:8 says, by faith Abraham, when called to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. It's called faith. God's called us to walk by faith and not by sight. And God's voice will challenge us. He wants to grow our faith. He wants to get us to a point where we are dependent on Him and not on our own ability. Amen. I'm going to challenge Peter's faith to get out of the boat when Jesus called him. I think it challenged the disciples' faith when they were fishing all night. And then Jesus said, you know, these are experienced fishermen. He said, just cast your net on the other side. And they're thinking, you got to be kidding me. But they had a choice to make. Am I going to listen to my human carnal reasoning, my own experience, my own wisdom, or am I going to listen to the voice of Jesus? And when they did, a great catch of fish. I bet it challenged the lame man's faith when Jesus said, get up, take up your mat, and go home. This guy hadn't walked for years. And Jesus said, get up. And he had a choice to make. Am I going to rely on my human reasoning that says I can't walk, or am I going to listen to the voice of God and do what He says? Here's the final thing. God's voice will often require courage. Courage. God called Joshua to lead thousands of people into the inheritance, into the promised land. I mean, these were doubting, grumbling, fearful Israelites. I'm sure it was a daunting task. And so God knew what he would be facing. And in the first chapter of Joshua, in 9 verses, God tells Joshua 3 different times, over and over and over again, have courage. Take courage. Joshua 1:6 says, be strong and courageous, because you will lead this people and inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Joshua 1:7, be strong and very courageous. Joshua 1:9, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. It seems to me like Joshua needed courage to do what God was calling him to do. And guess what? You and I are going to need courage as well. It's going to require a courage that only God can give you. It's going to require some boldness. It's going to require some faith to step out and do the thing that God has called you to do. Amen. Let's stand this morning. I said it a couple weeks ago. I believe God is elevating and wants to elevate in this body our ability to hear the frequency of heaven. He wants to improve and increase our ability to hear his voice. As a church, the scripture said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. God's saying some things to covenant. Who is covenant? Us. God's saying some things to us as a congregation. Do you know that? He has some things that he wants to speak to us. This collected body of believers that God has assembled. God has messages, communication for us as a church. He also has some things he wants to speak to you individually. He has some things he wants to talk to you about your family, about parenting, about raising kids, about your finances. Do we value the voice of God? Are we serious about that? Let's pray. Just a simple prayer. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Say that prayer to the Lord, would you? It's you and God. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. That says so much. God, Lord, we want to hear you speak. Number 2, Lord, we're listening. And number 3, Lord, we're your servants. We'll do what you say. We're not just going to hear and ignore, but we're going to actually be doers of the word, not hearers only. Speak, for your servant is listening. Take a moment right now and listen for God's voice. What's God saying to you? Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, open our ears this morning. Open our ears this morning. Father, forgive us for being too busy to listen. And I just include myself in that. So many things to do, places to go. And Lord, I just confess right now that I neglect so often just simply listening for your voice. Change me. Change my heart. Change us, Lord. Lord, help us to do as much listening as we do talking. Tune our ear into the frequency of heaven. Hallelujah. I just sense God's dropping some words, some pictures in your heart right now. Hallelujah. Lord, we listen to your voice, oh God. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. We want to hear your voice, God. We want to hear your voice, God. Want to hear that still small voice? That whisper of heaven. Whisper of heaven. Spirit of God. Spirit of God. This may be the quietest you've got all week long. And I'm going to keep you here for another minute or two so God can speak. Hallelujah. Speak, Holy Spirit. Father, pray for those without vision for their life. Lord, that you will drop that vision, drop that word, drop that picture in their heart, Father. Pray for those seeking direction and guidance. Lord, speak to them. Pray for those that are facing problems in their family. They don't have the answer. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Pray for those that are struggling with their finances. God, you have a word for them. You have wisdom for them. Pray for those with physical problems, sickness, disease. Doctors don't know what to do. Father, release that healing word. Let them hear that healing word in their spirit. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Hallelujah. Touch each person here today. Hallelujah. Bless each one. Lord, these are your children. Bless them. Pour out your spirit upon them. Encourage them. Father, those that are discouraged today, let them hear that word of encouragement. That word of encouragement. That word of courage. That word of strength. That word that will get them up. Dust themselves off and just keep walking again in the assignment that you've given to them, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is anybody here today that you've never committed your life to Jesus? You've never made that intentional decision that, Jesus, I need you in my life. I want to follow you all the days of my life. Raise your hand if that's you. Just go ahead and raise your hand. I don't know if there's anybody here, but I want to pray for you if that's you. Anybody? You never know. Am I missing a hand? Raise your hand up real high. That's you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, there's some folks that I feel like are struggling with some kind of a physical situation, physical problem, an issue. Some kind of a chronic thing that you have not been able to get over. You went to the doctors. They haven't been able to help you. I believe God wants to touch you this morning. If you would just get out of your seats and come down, we want to pray for you. I'm going to release everybody in just a moment. But if that's you, we got some prayer team people that are going to be down here and pray with you. Somebody, just some kind of a chronic situation, chronic pain. Wow. You tell me we're all that healthy? God wants to touch you this morning. He is the healer. Scripture says in Psalms 107 that he sent his word and healed them. He sent his word and healed them. Even the word of God can bring healing. If you need touch, come up, come on. Right up here to the front. Let's just join together, and then we're going to have the ministry team pray after and release you guys. But let's just join together for each one of these in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you today that you are the Lord, our physician. You sent your word and healed. And we thank you today for the healing power of Jesus being released. From the top of her head to the soles of her feet, be healed in Jesus' name. All sickness, all infirmity, go in the name of Jesus. Be healed in Jesus' name by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Let the healing power of Jesus flow in. Drive out all sickness, disease, infirmity. I command it to go. Every demonic force, every spirit of infirmity, go now in Jesus' name. We break the power and the hold of this thing off of your physical bodies. And we say, be healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Be healed in Jesus' name by the power of the Holy Spirit. Every cell of your being, be whole and well in Jesus' name. Be healed. All disease, go now in Jesus' name. Be free of that thing now in Jesus' name. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Be free in Jesus' name. Be healed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You're so gentle. Hallelujah. You come to minister not only to her physical body, but to her soul this morning. Let the gentle Holy Spirit come. Pour that healing oil into her soul, into every broken part of her soul in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we need to get our soul healed before our body gets healed. Scripture says that pray that you would prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. So I pray for a prosperous soul. Heal every broken part now in Jesus' name. Heal, Lord, with the tenderness, the gentleness of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Let the wind of the Holy Spirit come and blow upon her. Blow upon her. Just yield to Him. He's here. You just yield to Him. Hallelujah. He'll never hurt you. Hallelujah. He only wants the best for you. His love is like no other. He just wants to love you today. He wants to love you today. He just wants to take your heart, take it in His hands, and heal. Pour that healing oil upon it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your tenderness, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Be healed in Jesus' name. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet, all infirmity, all sickness and disease, go now. By the authority of the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be healed in Jesus' name. No weapon formed against your physical body will prosper. We take authority over it all now, and we command it to go. We command you to cease and desist in your activity against this woman. I cancel your assignment against her. All spirits of infirmity, we command you to go now. And we release the healing power of Jesus into every cell of her being. Be whole, be well in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's so good. God's so good. Amen. Well, thank you for being with us this morning. It's been good to be in God's house. Have a blessed Sunday afternoon.